Good morning, everybody. Let me make sure I'm going live over on Instagram. Okay, we're set. 9 a.m. is quite early. I think I might need to switch these to 10 a.m. because I'm a little tired. It's hard to be ready and raring to go by this point. And is anyone even here? That's the real question. Is anyone even tuned in? Yeah, I think we're going to make these 10 a.m. Okay, today we're going to talk about Drag Race. We're going to talk about Teen Mom family, or yeah, right? What is it? Family reunion? Yeah. And then Jersey Shore Family Vacation. It's very much an MTV type of day. Jersey Shore Family Vacation is just going to be a rant, period. Period, end of story. It's just going to be a little fucking rant. I'll tell you that much. This is real early. Thank you for co-signing that. Kijador, if that, I hope that's how I say your name. That's a fucking great name. I'm on the East Coast and I'm still in bed. Okay, yeah, we're moving this to 10. Okay. We're fucking moving this to 10. Okay. Like, what am I doing? I do like a morning, but my God. A drag race. You know, now let me just go through it before I get ahead of my thoughts. They play Drag Race Monopoly and they're like promoting Drag Race Monopoly, and I want Drag Race Monopoly. Hi, Jasmine. I really want that. I'd like some Drag Race Monopoly if I could get some. That would be great. Someone want to buy that for me? We can all play. Let's all play. Ooh, we'll do like a live or something. Is that a thing? I don't know. Okay, this week's Maxi Challenge. Now, I feel like they finally got it right on Drag Race and did this Maxi Challenge with people who actually have like talent. So instead of, because, you know, there's always like a Real People Challenge on every show. Like it's Project Runway, any show. They always like bring someone in to make them work harder to like appeal to the masses. But to me, it just is clunky and uncomfortable. And I end up kind of feeling bad for the people that they make over. You know, it's like a mom or it's a guy who's never worn drag before. Obviously. And I know these dancers haven't done drag before, but they're dancers. So there's a talent behind it that we don't normally get that actually made me feel like comforted. Cause usually this challenge just stresses me out. These challenges just freak me the hell out. Cause I'm like, someone's going to get offended. And then they're so difficult. It's like, hey, you guys are competing, but turn these people who've never done drag into drag stars and also learn a dance routine. That's always what happens. And so having actual dancers like that, that's what we need. We let's do this. I don't know if they want to keep using dancers from the show or they could do a cross promotion thing. Like they could do like a magic mic or whatever situation, get them in drag. But I like having people who are professionals, who have performance abilities, who can participate. So it's not just like dragging the queens down. And then when they do the critiques are so insane. And it's like, this person has never walked in heels. And they're like, I just didn't get joy from the performance, you know? And I'm like, how the fuck do you expect them to do that? So I like them having dancers that at least have that background. Nymphia is too cute when she gets paired up with her dancer. She's just all smiles and giggles. Plain and Saphira are the last to pick because they were just like drawing like colored balls out of a thing. Saphira, the last to pick. And the last two dancers is one black guy and one white guy. I would have loved to see the look on their faces if they had picked the opposite of what they did. They ended up getting the exact people they should have. So it was perfect. But like, I just would have loved to see them pretend like they weren't disappointed if they didn't get paired the way they did. I just would like to see that. Okay. Each pair has to choreograph a dance for the main stage per usual. I'm getting a little exhausted of the whole, and one more thing. Like, it's so cute. It's like, you have these people doing so much. I just wonder, like, the drag queens that are just going to snap. And one more thing. And a lot of the time, they used to do this. They don't anymore. And I think it's because people were like, stop. It's too much. They used to, after getting them basically ready to go on stage, like, the day before they were supposed to perform, they're like, and one more thing. Make a new outfit. they've, I think, toned that down a bit, which is nice. They need to tone this down. I'm like, there's just no way. There's just, like, it's not fair, guys. Like, you can't do this to them. They're going to lose it. Morphine seems to be in her element because she loves doing other people's makeup. Miguel was the perfect pairing. Perfect pairing. Nymphia is also in her element, too. I was on such a journey with Nymphia and Jonathan in their conversation because when he said he was straight, when that man said he was straight, I had so many questions. I was like, so what? And married? Like, he's hot. I want one. I want a hot guy that's willing, that's a dancer and willing to get in drag. Like, hell yes. Okay. I'm like, are we sure? But okay. I'm here for that. Jonathan is like my ideal man. Mark is Saphira's partner and he is an angel. He is a literal angel. Okay. But the best is he has beef with Sebastian. Well, Sebastian has like beef with everybody, but he has beef with Sebastian, the other dancer. And Sebastian is paired with Q. So he's like, I want to beat Sebastian. And Saphira's like, don't worry. I want to beat Q. Well, it doesn't really work out like that. But this is everything to me. Having there be extra drama on top of it, having there be petty dancer drama on top of the drag race drama. Please keep doing these. Please. I love it. Sebastian is the burliest of the men, but he can throw shade. He goes, Mark, he can't walk in heels. And Q's like, oh, should I be throwing pearls on the stage? And he goes, you won't need to. So, okay. Unfortunately, Mark is slewfoot. And poor Saphira is as slew foot as it gets, and they keep reminding her every freaking episode about her damn slew foot. And I'm like, all right, we don't have to. But of all the people to be slew footed, it would be Saphira's partner would be slew footed. Okay. They give a tucking demonstration, and honestly, it just makes me want to cry. How do they? I think of this all the time when they're sitting in Untucked, which is ironic. It's called Untucked and they're not Untucked. And I'm like, is the only thing they want to do Untuck? But they clearly just thrive. They thrive in this space. They walk around, they dance. These people dance with a tuck. So, you know, when men think they want to complain, I'm like, you think drag queens are actually, you know what? Drag queens are dangerous to you because they can handle pain like you could never. Okay. If you're going to be afraid of a drag queen, guess what? Can you have your balls literally taped together, pushed back behind you and then taped up again? Oh God. It's the dancing. It's the part where they're like dancing, doing splits. They're going down in a, how do they do that? How do they go down into a split like that? How the hell? How's that possible? Saphira comes up with a name for her daughter. Rue hates it. Rue's like, what the fuck? It was like, it was some, like, it was very serious. It was too on the nose. So, but Saphira goes, my favorite name I've ever been called is Saforest Whitaker. I wish I was clever enough to come up with shit like that. Mark didn't come out till Mark is Saphira's partner. Mark didn't come out till college. And Rue is like, with that bone structure, meaning like everybody knew, did you even have to come out of the closet? Oh my God. I remember when my friend from in college came out, we all knew he was gay. It was just something that we knew. Like, we just knew he was gay. It was like, Eric is gay, duh. So it was me, two girls, and Eric already there. Like, hello, already. So he was like going to come out to us, but I just didn't think it was necessary. So I was totally unaware of what he was doing. And so I was like trying to guess. He's like, guys, I have to tell you something. And I was like probably like hungover and stoned. Like, we were in the dorms. And I was like, he's like, it's kind of hard for me. And I didn't get it. So I was like filling in all these ridiculous things like, you're dying. You have that. And my friends later were like, Emily, what were you doing? I'm like, I genuinely didn't think he was going to come out. I thought like we just knew. Like, I was like, Eric, everyone knows. Everybody knows. But anyway, Mark came out in college. Nymphia is going to make them be like two birds of a feather, her and her partner. It honestly immediately made me think of a mandatory meetings scary blue bird nest thing that she did on the top of her head. That was just like, I think I'm actually traumatized forever from that visual. That visual was not fucking cool. For the choreographer, the section where they have to learn a dance routine, this is where I was like so happy that there was a dancer involved, because, you know, it's so rare that the queens actually are dancers. Of course, the winner last year, she was an amazing dancer, but it's just not often that that happens. So it's nice that they have like someone they can rely on, because they've been in this competition for weeks now. They're tired. They need a little help. So it's nice to have that, as opposed to having like someone who's never even walked 2 feet in front of the other, or wait, 1 foot in front of the other, you know? So that I think that this is the way to go. So I wrongly wasn't scared when Safira decided to change her dress because she couldn't move in it. I thought Safira's going to pull it out. Safira's going to get this. There's two orange outfits. I didn't really look closely enough at them. I was wrong. And I'll tell you what else I was wrong about. The cue avant-garde, whatever the hell. See, I was like, this just feels weird for weird's sake to me. I didn't feel like it had a point, a message. But then they get to the judges and they ate it up. They're like, Q, you're a winner, baby. I'm like, what? I was literally writing like, but my notes up until I got to the judging was like, oh yeah, this is just a mess. Q is going to be in the bottom. You better enjoy that Q. And then they get to the judging and I'm like, oh, what? So this wasn't my wheelhouse, apparently. But before we even get to the runway, Nymphia actually like breaks down. It was so interesting that Nymphia, who's been pretty closed off, opens up to Jonathan, right? Like that was, it was probably like in a weird way safer because he wasn't competing. And so Nymphia didn't need to worry about appearing like stronger, weaker, whatever. But I did think it was sweet that she's like, I'm always the oddball weird one in my own little weird world, but I have all these bottled up emotions. And it was very cute. It was very sweet. But then she just took those tears away and got it together. Sebastian's serving up so much shade. See, I loved it. Sebastian was serving up so much shade in the workroom, and I loved Morphine living for it. I love how much Morphine loves a good reading session in the workroom. Like, she was just living for it. I could have watched that go on and on and on. Okay. Honestly, these guys can just come back and keep doing it. Well, I guess it doesn't really work if they come back every year. Please do it with dancers every year. Guest judges, T.S. Madison and Kelsey Ballerini, who is an ally, if there was ever an ally. She brought in drag queens, some of our favorite drag queens, to perform with her at the CMAs because it was especially, was it the CMAs, right? Because all the drag bands that were happening at the time, or that are happening at the time. But okay, with Q and Luna on the runway, I didn't get it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then the dance they did, because I can't cue in the dancing. I'm like, again, with this like monster movie thing, like, what are we doing? Morphine and Latina are definitely giving body, but I had to agree with all of the judges with their critiques on this. As soon as they came out, I was like, that's a little too plain. It just looks kind of plain. That's all it looks like, was plain. And I don't know how to fix like proportions and stuff. That's why it's just so impressive that they came up. They're like, what I would have liked to see is a boa to cover up the big broad shoulders of your partner, of your daughter, excuse me. I'm like, oh, that would have been good. Or made the hair bigger. I'm like, yes, that also would have been good. So the judges know what they're talking about sometimes, you know, they do. They know what they're talking about. Safira, She does a good job of really selling the story on the runway. Like, she does do a good job of that. I'll give her that. But definitely they didn't look related. Not even in the makeup or the hair. That was, and I get that Safira was probably trying to make it a little different because she was the mom and that was her daughter, but they should have basically looked identical in the face if they were going to have such different looks in the body, in the fashion. But Plain and Lazy Susan, they slay. They honestly slay. And, and for the record, Safira and Mark had amazing stage presence, like incredible stage presence on every level. But Plain and Lazy Susan really slayed. Really, really slayed with the pigtails and the Bumblebee Transformers look. Yeah, it was great. It was, and Lazy Susan was just in her element. Like, she was like, this is what I want to fucking do, and I will do it. I will say they looked awkward as, well, not lazy, but Plain looked very awkward in the dance segment. Plain looks very awkward in the dance segment. I feel like Plain, since she was a dancer, she should like pick up dance classes or something, because I feel like that's all she's missing in her body. I felt the same way about Jimbo, honestly. I thought Jimbo could have, like, just a little bit of more like body control would have made Jimbo's drag take on another level, like her lip syncs, for example, you know? Okay, with the judges, I went over basically. I agreed with Michelle talking about Morphine's look. I was shocked by they were living for cute, but then again, I always seem to miss it when something really avant-garde happens, and I'm like, this is just weird for weird's sake. And then they're like, we lived for it. I'm like, oh, okay. I just maybe don't get it. Like, maybe that's just what the problem is. I don't know. But okay, the top cue, what? Nymphia, yes, and Plain, and Plain wins. And I actually, I'm glad that Plain has stuck around, and I'm glad I was over Plain for a while, for sure. But I kind of knew a couple weeks ago, I'm like, something's shifted here. Something shifted. She came in to give us a show, and she sure did. And I have to say, she did. Like, as much as she was really pissing me off, because it was like, okay, now you're just being mean, she gave us a lot of really good Drag Race moments. I hate to say it, but she did. And it's very, like, old school. And so seeing the chinks in her armor for a couple weeks might have helped soften me a little bit to her, I think. So when she wins, I'm like, oh, I'm actually, like, happy for her, as opposed to being like, whatever. The lip sync. Now, Safira and Morphine together are a perfect example of knowing when to hold back so that you can come through in surprise, and the opposite, which is just pushing the whole entire time. Because when you're pushing the whole entire time, there's nowhere to go. And Morphine was pushing the entire time. Like, Morphine was like going across the stage for every single line, every single note, every single lyric. As for Safira, she gave you performance. She took you on the journey. So when she did do her tricks, it was like, oh, yes, yes. As opposed to Morphine was doing everything. Morphine was doing like dance routines and doing like hip. It just wasn't her song. I mean, she got body. She got to do body on that stage. So I don't feel too bad for Morphine. But yeah. Obviously, Safira gets it. And Safira should have got it. And I was happy with the way Morphine went out. I thought Morphine knew, like, I'm not going to feel so sad. I got really far. Morphine, as they started this lip sync, I was like, ooh, Morphine is kind of like that alley-oop. Like, if you're playing, if you're a gamer and you watch a lot of games, like these competitive shows, there's always like an alley-oop, like the last one, the layup, that's what it is, an alley-oop, what the fuck? But the layup, that's, I know sports. And yeah, that's kind of what Morphine was. Like, this is who the top four should be for sure. But Morphine, like, was a perfect person to have because someone had a lip sync for their life, and Safira won going home because Safira won too much. And I feel like Morphine had to have known that. Morphine had to have known when it started. I think she had to have known that, okay, I'm probably going to go home now. I think she did, right? Because it's like, it would have been fucked up if she didn't. It would have been fucked up if Safira, all the wins, everything, has this slip up and they're like, Morphine gets it. It's like, what? So anyway, the only thing from Untucked that I wrote down that I thought was interesting is I go, I don't know why, but I feel the dancers hate the straight guy, Jonathan. He started to say something about how I'm like, he admired them or something like that. and sorry, Penny. And they just didn't really acknowledge him. Like, I feel like they were mean mugging him. Like, I wonder, I just need to know the dancer drama. Like, are they like this straight guy? Fucking Christ almighty. I got that vibe. Anyway, all right. So top four next week, they are doing this big tease. Like, are they going to do another cut? Is it going to be a top three? And I'm like, why would they do that? But I guess I could see them changing up the format, because I always did feel like top four was kind of a lot for that stage. And it would have been better just to see them all battle together, like the three battle off, as opposed to like splitting off into twos and then going down to the final together or whatever. Anyway, so that's drag. Let me go to the comments and see what you guys are saying. Hold one. Ooh. Oh, I only have, oh, that's sad. Okay. I wish I could see. I can't see. I need to like maybe bring the TikTok monitor closer to me, because I can't. If I wanted to see what you guys were saying, I couldn't, because I am nearly blind from far away. Okay. Let me go to Teen Mom then. Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. Exactly. Mama, kudos for saying that you have AIDS, for spilling. Fucking Christ almighty. It's just Harlem says, hoping top three isn't Q in the finale. I agree. I don't want to see Q in that dumb finale with her dumb, stupid dancing. Whatever. Ladies, did you know that one of the most common complaints from women about their sexual health is a frustratingly low libido? Our sex drives can decline, but it's also treatable. Addy, or flibanserin, is FDA approved and has been clinically proven to increase sexual desire in certain premenopausal women who are bothered by a low libido. So if you feel like you've lost your desire and you want to get it back, stop falling for the snake oils and ask your doctor about Addy today, or go to Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy, even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching or trouble breathing, sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning, at Addy.com/PI, or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Ask your doctor about Addy today, or go to Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com. This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Ever heard of her? Her hair is so iconic, and she knows better than anybody about the damage we put our hair through between the heat styling, the coloring, the stress, the aging. It takes a toll. So Jennifer created a hair care line that not only repairs the look of that damage, but it also shields your locks from future harm. Every single time I'm out of the shower, the first thing I put in my hair is the glossing detangler. Every single time. But speaking of the shower, while I'm in there, I've got the in-shower trio of restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. The post-shower stuff, like I said, glossing detangler, every single time. They also make a perfect leave-in conditioner, a lightweight hair oil. And here's the thing about ingredients. Everything is naturally derived plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan. That is vital. Unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code SHESPEAKS15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaV.com with promo code SHESPEAKS15. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Teen Mom Time. So I actually didn't despise this episode as much as I normally despise the way they edit and cut Teen Mom episodes. Because oftentimes they really do. Did I do that right? Hold on. My audio is good. Okay. Key says, I'm sick of Q and her no rhythm. During the night, Sean had like a breakdown. And he says something that I feel like so many addicts in recovery can relate to. And they said, and he was like having a spiral. And he's like, so much of my past that I can't get out of my head that I'm ashamed of, like my drug use and everything that I've put you through. And Jade is comforting. She's like, I think maybe you shouldn't drink, not because like you have an issue with it, but because maybe it makes you feel like you shouldn't. That's something you should be doing. And so in the morning, he's telling Tyler about it. And I thought it was, I love Sean. I don't know what Sean to me is such a little precious angel. I know he doesn't, quote, help enough, but I sometimes feel like Jade doesn't know how to delegate. And she's the one who kind of holds on to all the contact. It's, you know, if you're the one emailing everybody and calling everybody, you need to hand over those contact sheets so that I can take over for you. So I think Sean is a recovering addict who's genuinely putting in the work, genuinely trying. And he's like working out now too. So I'm like, is Sean hot? Do I think Sean is fine? But I feel like he really does, him and his teeth, I feel like he does really want to improve. And I'm glad that he was able to go, you know what? The only thing that's different is that I'm drinking and I do not like the way that I feel. And I'm like, good for you, boo. Jade is sick. Apparently this bitch came here with viral pneumonia that she was on medication for. And now it's like worse. Her cough is coming back. There's a medic and everything. Woo. So the exercise, that they do is to build the blocks for your relationship. I kind of don't really think that this was even like necessary. I don't know. Like there was a thunderstorm going on. They build these blocks up. And then they just knock them down so that the therapist can have that line. Like, are you ready to burst through your building blocks or whatever the fucking line is so that they can like kick it down and have this shot for the cameras? I'm like, they could have just talked about this too. Like, I don't know. These games are getting a little silly. It's like they're trying. There's kind of almost no need for it to be this physical and this like cheesy. Hold on. So my dad, whenever he goes out and makes his tea, Penny loves to go out and visit with him. So I have the door shut because it's always, if you're recording, you want to be like where it's quiet. Now Penny is at the door, like clawing, trying to get to the doorknob because she wants to go out and hears my dad out there. Is that not so cute? Sorry, Penny. I don't want to get up. But she's literally just staring at the door and looking back at me. Oh, should I let her out? No, because then I got to let her back in. Sorry, Penny. But anyway, okay. So Tyler and Caitlin go first. So they have to put like their least, the thing that they least need to work on bottom, and then the thing they need to work on the most on top. Caitlin and Tyler, they both grab intimacy first. Is this real? I don't know. I can't, like, he seems like he doesn't even want to touch her. And she seems, I know they've been together for so long, but you're telling me that you guys don't need to work on fucking? You guys fuck all the time? I guess. I don't know. It just weirds me out. But anyway, they both put anger at the top. And then they go like, knock down these walls or whatever the hell. So they knock them down. Macy and Taylor, intimacy is at the top for both of them. But here's the issue I have with Taylor. He's so, like, he doesn't talk. So whenever they have like a segment with Macy and Taylor, they both are so soft spoken. They both talk real quiet like this, and they both talk real low, and it's real quiet, and it's a little bit boring to tune in for. It gets boring. for them. Like, I think Maisie is such a doll. Like, she's a real one for sure. But I guess they were talking. Cheyenne and Zach actually puts intimacy at the top and says that sex isn't the problem, but intimacy is different or something. I don't know. I cannot put my finger on. But anyway, the real big one is that Corey and Taylor go, and they both put trust at the top. Corey puts trust at the top, and then he's like, she still doesn't trust me after all these years. And he's like annoyed with it, which is, they need to have chats for sure. The two of them, they've had chats. I just don't think it's going to work. It's just not going to work for the two of them. But the part that I found interesting in this is apparently Caitlin and Tyler are both taking the stance of like, oh yeah, no, if you cheated, forget it. Forget. Yeah, no. If he cheated. Oh yeah. No, if she cheated or if he cheated, yeah, we're done. And it's just crazy because there are so many rumors about Tyler, and I can't help but feel like they are a little bit doing this for the cameras. Am I just being skeptical? I just feel like at this point they've been doing Teen Mom long enough and they know how to like get the sound bites in there. You know, oh my God, Penny. Okay, I got to let Penny out. I have to. She's losing it. Okay, Penny, be right back. Okay, sorry about that. I couldn't handle. Penny was like reaching her paw under the door, like panicking. So, okay. Anyway, I don't know. I feel weird about them. But back at the house, Taylor is like, look, part of the reason I have trust issues, doing this in front of everybody, like in the common area. Back at the house, Taylor's like, I have the trust issues because you have this big fear of commitment. And he's all, oh, I've been committed to you for 5 years. And she goes, yeah, there's no progression. And he goes, the only progression is marriage. And she's like, yeah. he walked right into that. What? That is crazy. Duh. Like, you guys are so not on the same page. Taylor does not want to be on this show. Taylor is not here for it. I don't know who begged or what the fuck, but she is like, please, I don't want to film. I don't want to see Corey like this. She just seems very unhappy in general. Doesn't Taylor just seem kind of just very sad? She seems very sad. Okay. Jade accepts the lower offer on the house. She's not happy about it, but they got to do it for whatever reason. And she says, I'll just accept the lower offer. I'll just do that. And Sean shakes her hand and is like, nice doing business with you. And she's like, of course, Sean's not going to help me. I'm not trying to defend the men. I'm really not. Because honestly, I feel like Brianna is a good example of someone who got a raw deal because they were always like, Devontae's trying. And I'm like, is he? I don't really know. Is that his name, actually? But I really feel like he doesn't have the emails that you have and access to stuff. So like, what do you expect him to do if you're not going to give him a clue on what to do? What do you expect him to do? Exactly. So when he's like, if you could give him me stuff to do, I'll help. But she's like, of course, Sean isn't going to help. So I'm going to have to do it all by myself. That's how it always is with Sean. I'm like, well, he doesn't have hand it over. Hand it the fuck over at this point. The conversation of Mackenzie comes up because Caitlin like loves Mackenzie. And she's like, I just think she doesn't have a bad bone in her body. And she wants to come and, you know, whatever. Okay, Caitlin passes out the most insane box of sexy themed clothes. It's or sexy themed things. There's a butt plug in there with like a boa attached to it. She's hosting a sexy lingerie themed party. Everyone is uncomfortable. Like everyone who gets that box is like, oh, is this what's happening in your house? You are doing OnlyFans. Corey comes out in a gladiator thong outfit though. Taylor's like, I hate you. I hate everything about you. But it looks like they're about to have a Teen Mom orgy. I'm not even kidding. It looks like they are very close to getting, the guys have like satin robes on and police hats and the girls are in boas and have like, it's like, this is going to be an orgy. We are in a Teen Mom orgy. It's coming. But Caitlin tells Cheyenne that Mackenzie's going to come. And Cheyenne goes over like her whole experience with it. And this is when I start to get irritated with the way MTV like does this stuff, is they're going to do all this talking about it, all this buildup. And of course, Mackenzie, the way she comes in is going to be all this buildup and a cliffhanger. And then there probably won't even be that much of a reaction. This happens regularly with both Teen Mom and Jersey Shore, where it's like, ooh, this person's coming, and they like tease it, and they keep teasing it some more, and then they tease it some more, and then they tease it some more, and then the scene happens, and we'll get to Jersey Shore. The scene happens, and you're like, that's it? That wasn't worth all this teasing, you know? Dude, the bartender, on Teen Mom, the bartender gives them the ants, like the local aphrodisiac, and Corey is eating these bugs. Eating these bugs up, it's disgusting. But he does end up getting naked and jumping in the pool. And so does Tyler. And he goes, hey, this is free content. Meaning like people pay to see this. So people do pay to see you naked. I need to look up the Twitter to see if anything's leaked on the Twitter. Because that's where I've learned, my gays have taught me that that's where you find all the OnlyFans leaks, which is how I think, that's how I know that I don't think Larsa, come here, Tiger. That's why I don't think Larsa is showing much on her OnlyFans, because that would have leaked by now. Yeah, there she is. All right, in the morning, everyone's super hungover, but Jade is like mad at Sean because she's always mad at Sean. And so they go and they have a session with Dr. Mike. And she talks about her fear of being pregnant. And I'm actually really glad she talks about this, because she had a traumatic experience being pregnant. When she talks about it, she's like, yeah, he was addicted to drugs. So were my parents. I had nobody to help me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. That, I feel like, fair. Okay, fair. She's like, I didn't have this lovely, gorgeous, magical, beautiful experience. Okay, it was absolutely painful and torturous and terrible. Okay. And I get why Sean is just eager. He's like, I want a chance to do this sober and do it right and be there for you. And it seems like they have a good session. It seems like he says, help, let me help you. Like, I'm happy. And because Sean acknowledges, that's the other part, is Sean acknowledges, I'm not doing enough. She's doing everything. I'm not doing enough. And I do think that there has to be, she's got to help him a little bit, because the dynamic of the relationship she has set up too. But she's had a tough life, man. Jade has had a fucking tough life. She had to pull herself up and do it all by herself. You know, she had a lot going on. So I give Jade a lot of props. And so I hope that they can do a little shift-a-rooney. Mackenzie arrives. And you know what? I was like not happy to see her. I didn't think I'd have much of an opinion, but she showed up in her little crop tank top and her little short shorts. And I was like, I'm not in the mood for this. And her very obvious implant in her upper lip. I'm like, that is just some bad work right there. I don't know if she also got like the lift thing too, but I'm like, your upper lip is distracting me. I don't know. I'm just really not excited to see her. However, that being said, I am open if she's going to have a conversation with Cheyenne and talk about what she's learned, et cetera. Then yeah, I'm always down for that. Like, I actually kind of am here for journeys and growth and shit. Like, that's what we all should be here for, right? Am I right? Am I right or am I right? And of course, it's a fucking big ass. Oh, but wait, let me talk about her boyfriend. This man is a lot. I don't think she's doing it on purpose, but of course it does seem a little interesting that he's a black man. It's just, you know, it's not on purpose. I'm sure it's not on purpose. And he's so opposite of her ex-husband, which I'm sure she loves and she deserves. So we're clear. She deserves that as well. But this man has some real braces that are just, they're there. They are silver and they are in my face. But Mackenzie says she's coming to say sorry to Cheyenne in person. Big ol' buildup, big ol' buildup. This is what always happens too. Another thing that drives me crazy about MTV and the way they do their ad breaks. Okay. You'll do this big buildup and then you go to a commercial and you think, okay, it's just a cliffhanger until we get past the commercial. Then you get back from commercial and, oh, just kidding. It's actually just a preview for next week. And it's the end of the show. So I didn't really like, I hate when they do their ad break like that. They do it on Drag Race too. They do it on Drag Race too. It's like they always put this ad break right where you think, oh, okay, I guess there's a little bit more. And they're like, no, no, you just sat through that annoying ad break for no reason. It's actually the end of the show. I have so many issues with the way they do things over at MTV. Okay. I have issues. Was anyone even commenting on this? I wasn't even looking at this. Let me look at your comments. Jade did that all by herself for sure. I can't believe Taylor and Corey are still together. Yeah. Yeah. She just needs to learn to not pop off too easily and quickly about Jade. Jasmine agreed. I think they really have like the foundation for a good relationship, even with all the craziness they've been through. She is still very much in like fight or flight, which we understand because that chick had a reason to fly, to fight and fly. Okay, for real. You guys are so fun in the chat today. Thank you.
So I've heard about Honey Love. I've heard about their bras that are so revolutionary. No underwire, but still giving you lift. Fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. Sure enough, they live up to their promise. Normally, my bra experience is digging into my skin in the back, not fully supporting in the front, the straps digging into my shoulders, leaving marks. So I gave the Honey Love crossover bra a try, very skeptically. I was shocked. This thing was actually comfortable and it actually made my boobs look good because you usually don't get both. And that back bulge, gone. I didn't even have any marks on my shoulders. So I guess they know what they're freaking doing over there. If you're looking for a more relaxed lounge bra, I recommend their V bra. It offers the support of a traditional bra without any uncomfortable underwire. It's designed to lift and separate with molded cups and is not a shelf-like bra that creates that uniboob effect. You know what I'm talking about? But Honey Love isn't even just bras. They also do shapewear. They do tanks and leggings. So pair your V-bra with their breathable, versatile leggings or get the matching shapewear to your crossover bra. Honey Love has you covered for the everyday look, for workouts, weddings, everything. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/shespeaks. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/shespeaks. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it. Support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane Home, and I love home decor. You see, my dad, we found a place for him. He's going to go live there. I will stay in this two-bedroom, so I've got a whole other room to worry about. Just like Jenny Kane Fashion, Jenny Kane Home is clean, it's effortless, it's refined, but it's cozy, it's classic, it's timeless. And don't forget, they have the most incredible scented candles. We love candles. These smell like what Jennifer Aniston's home would smell like, in my mind. I am all about making my home as cozy as possible, and their perfectly neutral pillows and throws are exactly what I'm looking for. There's no such thing as too many, by the way. Every room deserves a little luxury. That's what I always say. Their home furniture is to die for. The sofas, the sectionals, the beds. I also am going to do a complete overhaul of all of my flatware, my dinnerware, because I just want everything to be matching, chic, clean. So the Pacific Dinnerware Collection is perfect. It's durable, you can use it every day, but it's still a little flex when people come over, you know? They also have a really incredible rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every purchase, and joining is completely free, so why not? Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code SHESPEAKS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennikayne.com, promo code SHESPEAKS.
Jersey Shore, Jersey?
Motherfucking.
Sure. Sorry, Tiger. She's like, can you relax? Okay, guys, here's the deal. Season one of Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore Family Vacation specifically, okay? So they hadn't seen each other in real life all together in so long. And they were all, it was kind of weird. There was like a weird tension in the group. Sam was not there. Polly brings the Sam doll. But Ron was in his real openly toxic era. He came on like no one really knew what everyone was up to. And then Ron was like, oh, I'll show you what I'm up to. I've got a pregnant girlfriend at home and I'm about to get in the bathroom with this stripper that we brought back. And Polly has to go in and remove Ron from the situation. Remove Ron physically. Like Ron was like clawing, like, no, let me back in there to cheat on my girl. And Polly was such a real one. So we dealt with mainly Ron stuff for the first couple seasons of Drag Race. Like that was mainly the focus. Drag Race, Jersey Shore, sorry. So there was a lot of content there. But when they came back, I was like, is Snooki actually fucking annoying and not cool at all? Because when Snooki was on Jersey Shore, she was like, she's Snooki. But then when she got with Gianni, shit started to change. And so when she came back, there was just a whole different energy to her. She was real entitled. And I could tell that they were doing this as like a favor to MTV. More so than anything. And usually when we get these show, we get a reality show, we get people who want to make good TV. But it felt like they were coming in like, I'm not going to show this, 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 or this. Okay. And they're like, that's fine. Because they didn't give us a lot. Jenny was still going through her issues with Roger. So we got a little bit of that. But when it really started to pop off, she didn't talk about it on the show. And there were reasons for that for sure. But then Jenny would use Ron and his drama and like be pissed if they brought up her stuff. I don't know. The dynamic of the group was just really crazy. But the part that makes me the craziest is that they brought back Angelina. Okay. Enough time, enough years had gone by from the original to Family Reunion or Family Vacation for them to get better at producing and realize, was she just a bad casting choice? Like, was she just not a good casting choice? Like, interview these people. Vet them. Because Angelina is, in my opinion, one of the worst people ever to grace our screens as a reality star. There's difficult. There's rude. There's all sorts of things that I will tolerate. But there's just nothing appealing about her. And there's no getting through to her. And we have gone now, what is this, season 7, 8, 1,000? And she is still in the exact same place that she was, but now she's more entitled because she's been on the show forever. And it's because they built this show around her, around Angelina, because Angelina was the one who was willing to go there. So like they kept forcing her in the group, forcing her in this group when I'm like, I don't need to see how they interact with Angelina. I'm actually just curious how they interact with each other because they're the ones who formed the bond. Angelina was the weird one who left. Let her be that way. So then, because Angelina was so desperate to be on the show, she was willing to show all the stuff. She was willing to show all of her mess and all of her drama because she wanted to stay on the show this time. She didn't want to lose it. And they were more than happy to let Angelina be that person because Jenny wasn't going to show her real life. Snooki wasn't. Dina wasn't. So that's okay. So there's that. Like, if you are going to be producing a show and you're going to be like, Angelina's who we're going to focus on, then I'm already mad. I'm already very irritated at this. But it's the fact that they don't show their life. Polly doesn't really have much going on. Polly, and I know it's probably toxic of me to say this, but I do just prefer, like, my favorites are Polly and Vinny. They are. I know that's very basic bitch of me. But as much as Vinny's a pig, they're the least unlikable because Jenny fucking gets on my goddamn nerves with the way she won't talk about shit on the show. And I'm like, so what do you guys talk about? What is the point of this show? just to keep getting you guys. And okay, let me go to my notes because I had to write some notes down in order to actually be able to follow this. So this last fight with Angelina and Sammy, okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me, before I get into that, let me talk about Jenny a little bit more because I have so many thoughts on this. I tried my best to organize them. I feel a lot of feelings. I feel a lot of fucking feelings about it. So with Jenny, when I don't know if every one of you followed and watched the Snooki JWoww spinoffs that they did. With Jenny, she was willing to show a lot of her relationship for a while. She was. They did, what, like 3 different spinoffs or something where they showed just how toxic and horrible her and Roger were. Gianni kind of participated in those spinoffs. But honestly, to me, it didn't make me not like Gianni. It made me think that Gianni and Nicole are kind of perfect, sort of, in a way. But it just was interesting and strange that Gianni like really did not want too much TV. So they come back for Jersey Shore. Jenny doesn't want to show too much of her relationship with Roger, which I get. But then she intentionally like brings stuff out from Ron, and then she gets like mad at Ron, but then she never acknowledges it. Then we have 24 brought into the mix. Don't even get me started on this 24 character. I'm supposed to pretend like I think this is a good relationship or something. And then there was that weird situation with Angelina. And I really feel like Jenny didn't handle that situation properly because Angelina was sort of trying to tell her what was going on. But then Angelina left out some shit about what she did too, how she like knocked on their door and was like, I want to come in and join you guys or whatever. So like, it's a little bit of a back and forth, but now all Jenny does is show up and complain. Like she shows up and first, so then Angelina and Sam, now they're getting into their thing. And she just goes, guys, can we just eat? And then Snooki in the background going, guys, holy water. And then Dina like, I just want to go. And I'm like, then why are we doing this? What is the point of this show then? I don't get it. I want them to get rid of Angelina so that I can see if they would do anything. It's kind of like how I would feel about Teresa on Jersey. I'm like, get rid of Teresa just so I can see what these girls do because I feel like they won't do enough. And so get rid of Angelina just so I can see these bitches show up to work. Please. Uh-oh, now Penny is meowing at the door. Hold on, I got to let Penny back in. I knew this was going to happen. I'll be right back. Let me let Penny back in. So there's my Jenny rant. Snooki, I already did my rant. Dina, it's always kind of the same thing. Dina and Snooki, the contribution they bring to the show is just, we're meatballs. We go and do meatball stuff. But I'm a little over the meatballs meatballing. Like you guys are, because they're falling all the time. And I know it's like a joke that Polly's like, oh, they're made of rubber. I'm like, okay, but how long can they keep doing this for? Dina won't show really anything. And well, she doesn't really, to be honest, Dina doesn't have a ton of drama. That's just not her. Dina and Chris are super happy. They have their kids. They have their happy life. Like Dina's not really full of drama or anything like that. But she doesn't even want to participate in the drama. She just seems annoyed and wants to go home and like whatever, unless she's getting drunk with Snooki and doing like the meatball thing. And it's like, they're falling down. They're breaking shit in businesses. You know, it just like kind of stresses me out watching them. And so now that Sam is back, I feel like Sam is the exact energy I would have. Like Sam is watching them do their meatball thing. And she's just like, ugh, I don't want to have to participate. And she's literally looking at everyone else like, is this what you guys have been putting up with? So now she's like, yeah, she's the Vinny, Jenny, Sam crew. We're like, and the situation crew, like they go home, they let the meatballs be meatballs. And whoever the producers are that have to like deal with the meatballs being meatballs. It's just an old bit. But the bulk of every episode now on Jersey Shore. So let's give the example of this past episode, or was that this past one, or maybe the episode prior, 2 episodes ago, when Mike and Snooki are going to talk to Sam about bringing Ron on the trip to Nashville. So they build this up. They build this up so much. Are we going to do it? We're going to do it. Are we going to do it? We're going to do it. They get everybody together, whatever. And then the building up, they throw in an interview bite from everybody. What's Sam going to say? I hope Sam's not upset. I hope she doesn't leave this time. We don't want to lose Sam. Okay, got it. Okay. Then they get to the scene. okay? And they set this up like it's going to be something horrible, right? So for example, they said, Mike says, how do you feel about being under the same roof as Ron? Are you cool with being under the same roof as Ron? Sam goes, hell no. And they waste, I timed it, 4 full minutes of interview sound bites from every single person. Oh no, what do we do? Sam doesn't want to be with Ron. Oh no, what do we do? Oh no, every single person gets one, only for Sam just to go, but honestly, guys, like, I'm so cool. You guys, I knew this was going to be a part of it. Don't even worry about it. I will work on it. It's my thing. I know. So there was literally no issue. So you did this entire buildup for us. Like, it's at least 20 minutes of the episode just for her to be like, no, guys, it's honestly so okay. If there wasn't so much of a buildup, I would just be following. I'd be on the journey. I'd be like, okay, what's she going to say? And then I follow it. And then if it wasn't that much of a buildup, it's like, great. But because you built it up so much, I'm irritated when nothing really happens. So you keep doing that to me. Last year, when Sam was arriving, when we got Sam back for the first time, remember how they kept teasing the door opening like it was going to be Ron? They kept teasing it over and over again, only for us to see the episode. And they didn't even interact, Sam and Ron. So I'm like, you did all that every fucking episode. Multiple times an episode of like someone coming in the door, and it wasn't even a thing. They didn't even see each other. Okay. So I need them to cancel the show, or I need them to actually start showing up. And also, by the way, the schedule is like so optional. Like, there's no one has to show up. I'm not sure who's supposed to be where, but like sometimes Vinny and Polly are there. Sometimes they're not. Most of the time, Snooki or Dina's gone. They kind of swap it out, and it's kind of like whoever they can get together. There's no one. They're just doing such a favor to these people, giving them a show. And I get it. They're an institution. They were the original to really like do what they did. And I get the hype. But now in current time, because also Snooki had the nerve to talk shit about the Real Housewives of Miami and saying that she overheard them filming and then like they were redoing intros and saying the same shit over and over again. I think she was talking to David Portnoy, actually. And I was like, are you seriously trying to talk shit about a show being overly edited and produced when you do Jersey Shore Family Vacation, where the bulk of the show is you guys going to silly activities like going to the Jets game and a lot of that shit and a lot of just like you going to the Jets game and what's that going to be like? And here we go. And here's a funny thing, whatever. And it's fun. It's funny. It's cute. But there's not like a lot of authenticity to this show anymore, especially from Snooki. Snooki doesn't get into drama. Dramas, as she would say. She doesn't really like bring anything to the show. She just shows up. And for example, Angelina and Sam fighting, she's like, holy water, holy water. I'm like, great. I'm glad this is a fucking thing. But then like on to the Angelina Sam of it all, you know, Angelina acting like she brought Sam back is hysterical. Because truly, Sam had to have been talking to producers already. Someone who makes those decisions really is the one who contacted her. So Angelina trying to be like, and Jenny called it perfectly. Angelina brought you back and she thought that would make it her season, if you will. Angelina brought Sam back. And that was that was the wrong tactic because Sam being back meant Sam was back. Sam is back. That's all we're going to care about is Sam is back, right? And so now Angelina needs to punish Sam and have Sam groveling for whatever I don't even know. And it's obviously not going to happen because this is Sam. Sammy's sweetheart doesn't fucking grovel to anybody, okay? But Angelina, and this has been brought up at, I think, at least a reunion, if not in season as well. Angelina parties a lot. And the way Angelina gets drunk, it's like Angelina will come on and talk about how she hasn't slept in 3 days. I haven't been home. She fucking parties. So the fight, like the one that was like an entire episode of them fighting where they did the big Jersey Shore day thing and Angelina started throwing a fit and ruining their whole time, just being a total nightmare. And I'm like, just fire this chick already. Angelina was fucked up. She started to not make any sense. She was just rambling and they couldn't put it together. And I feel like it's intervention time at this point. It's honestly feeling like this is something. And I kind of think that Mike, the situation is sort of hinting at that too. I think he's kind of, because for a sober person, this must be uncomfortable to be around. But all of them were like, what are you even talking about, Angelina? And Angelina just being like, I brought you into this. I'll take you out. And I'm like, all right, you think you're going to have some sort of moment, some sort of memeable thing. Like, okay, got it. Whatever. I think we're bordering on. I also caught one of Angelina's lives not too long ago. And I caught it after she had shut off comments. And it's her, she's getting her hair done. And she's like, looking in the camera and she's like, that's right. Shutting off fucking comments. I don't need to fucking hear from any of you fucking people. You don't want to be fucking nice. Don't even fucking pay attention to me. Like she was being so erratic and angry. And then I like closed out of it because I was like, oh, this isn't making me feel good. And then I went back into it and she turned comments back on and was just like bawling people out. So like her entire life is just conflict 24/7, which seems like it would be entertaining, but she's just a trash person. She's just a trash person. I can't stand her. I can't stand Angelina. So Jersey Shore, family vacation, there's my rant. That felt good. That felt good to get off my chest. Okay, let's see what you guys are saying and how much you probably don't agree with me. It needs to be canceled. I won't even watch it anymore. Respect. They won't. It will probably get canceled. I kind of think it should. Yes, they just sit back and complain. Jenny was more open when she was with Tom and Roger. Not now, though. Yep. 24 was the worst. We never see Snooki's husband. Yep. And I know everyone's like, oh, he just doesn't like to film. I'm like, after all this time, what do I know about Snooki anymore? You know? And there's always obviously questions around marriages. It's just part of it. Cannot stand watching her on TV. Oh my God, you guys are so fun. Ron is always coming on with a pregnant girlfriend at home. Oh my God. That's kind of accurate. I'm over Ron. You know, I get that. The tree comparison is spot on, right? Like, I'm not in any ways. Teresa is a much better reality star than Angelina. I don't mean to compare them on that level. Just that it feels like on both Jersey Shore Family Vacation and the Real Housewives of Jersey, that they kind of rely on the same people for content. Like they just kind of rely on that. And that's not fair. So I want to see the rest of you guys show up and see what the rest of you guys do just for one second. And Jasmine, I agree. They want to bring in Ron to rely on that Sammy Ron drama. And Sammy's like, that's not why I came back. I'm not going to give you guys like, Ron, I'm not going to give you guys that. That's just not going to happen. And that's really cool. I do enjoy that. However, I will say, if they can't get it together with the Sammy and Ron reunion, if we can't get more shit going on, then forget it. But I'm ready. I'm so open for it to change. But like Mike, the situation is practically the lead of the show because he's willing to film all the time. But like, he's also, you know, like I know he's come a long way, but there was that whole thing with, what is that YouTuber? He's a big YouTuber and he does like dives on people. I'll think of his name. I made a TikTok about this. He came out and said that he was sent, like a threat basically to take down one of his videos. And it was a video about Mike's dad. It was nothing bad or nothing inaccurate at all. Like there was nothing inaccurate in terms of facts. And it wasn't even anything bad about Mike, the situation. It was actually just like facts about Mike and his dad and the things. And the message was threatening to tell him to take it down or we will release this picture of you. And it was a picture that he had took, but like they've doctored in like him naked. And he was like, I've never had this happen before, but I'm speaking about this publicly because I'm scared that they may try to do something, but like, I don't know what's happening. And so I posted about this on TikTok and I had a bunch of people say that they were not surprised and that Lauren actually doesn't seem like she's not as nice as she maybe tries to appear. So I don't know your thoughts on that. But anyway, Mike, the situation is basically the lead of the show. And I just, I, he's just, I don't know. I have such a hard time with him. Looking at his face is just, he's just so cheesy. And they always in the cheesy in the interview sound bites. And honestly, what's this weird dance he does? What is this thing? What is it? With the shaking of the hand and the stomping on the, what is it? What are we doing? So weird. So, okay, that's my, those are my thoughts on Jersey Shore. Family Vacation. Guys, if you haven't watched Florabama Shore, I cannot recommend it enough. It's been canceled and the cast is very bitter about it. And they still will post like, thanks a lot for canceling us. Like even to this day, it's been years. But that show is good. That cast was good. The issue, for those who did watch that show, the issue I felt actually, as much as Gus becomes a huge problem, I actually felt it was Jeremy. He was just a very weird casting choice. And he created such a divide from Gus and the guys kind of with the girls. And so I actually, MTV doesn't do what they should do. You run a season, you see how people do, and you get rid of the ones that don't work. Like, you know, like that's the whole point. MTV does not fire anybody. When you get cast, you're cast for life. Doesn't matter how good or bad you are. And I think that's a bit of a, that's to their detriment. But don't get me wrong, Gus ended up being the problem for sure. But Florabama Shore is incredible. Okay, I guess it's been long enough. And I guess I've said all I can say. Max says bring one or two to the traders. Bring one or two of them to the traders. Great idea. Amy and Neil says a lot of fun, but Amy and Amy and Koda, that'd be fun. They're good. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up because it's already over an hour and I'm already being told I got to get off on TikTok or whatever that means. So I love you guys so much. I will see you guys tomorrow. Those of you who can make it, we'll keep it at 9 for tomorrow. But next week, I'm going to move all of these to 10 a.m. so that I can be a little better prepared. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and/or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm or something. You can also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.